This is Sound Off. Welcome to Sound Off. It is Thursday, March 18th, 2010. March Madness has begun. I am stoked. I love this time of the year. I played basketball all through high school and my freshman year in college, so I'm a huge basketball fan. And March Madness, I mean, it's just, you know, one of the best times of the year for basketball fans. So, yeah, it's begun. There's already been one upset, Old Dominion over Notre Dame. I didn't pick that upset. That's too bad. But anyways, spring is definitely here today in Kansas City. It's like 70 degrees outside, so I am excited about that. I'm just happy that global warming is actually starting to do me some good. I know all the global warming caused us to have 20 feet of snow this winter, but I'm glad that it's actually doing us some good now and giving us some nice weather. By the way, just in case I'm probably acting a little weird here. My wife and I decided that we're going to start doing a YouTube channel where we show just basically like vlogging, just showing everything that we do throughout the day just because we're bored and we think we're goofy, so we're just going to do that. So I'm filming a little bit of that now just because I'm doing it. But I should probably just stop doing that now. But anyways, last episode we talked about the healthcare debate and how Nancy Botox Pelosi and the Dems are trying to use this demon pass maneuver to pass this massive $1 trillion waste of a bill that no one wants. Not even some of the Dems want this bill. From the start, we've known that some haven't wanted it. Now, their reasoning obviously is different than the majority of America. They don't want it because it's not liberal enough. It doesn't have that massive government takeover in the sense of the public option, but they think that this massive government takeover isn't big enough, you know, even though the government is going to be killing the insurance industries, it's going to be affecting our quality of care, it's going to be affecting Medicare and Medicaid, it's going to be affecting the cost, but, you know, it's not liberal enough for them, so that's why they don't want it. But anyways, we talked about that, and also I talked a little bit about March Madness. Like I said, you know, it's going. I'm excited about it. Well, I'm watching K-State in North Texas right now. Great game there. Anyways, today we will examine the interview that Obama had with Fox News and dissect what was said there. Also, we will examine some of the new developments in the bill that was released today with a CBO score. The heralded Congressional Budget Office, CBO, which I have a few things to say about them, honestly, because I think that there's a lot of ridiculous things that go on with that, within what people say about the CBO. And then finally, in the entertainment segment, we'll take a look at the new show on HBO, The Pacific, and I'll give a review of the show, and also we'll talk a little bit about some of the controversy that's been related to it with Tom Hanks in the past week. All right, so Obama finally decided to grow a pair and go on Fox News to talk about healthcare. So yesterday he went on during the special report with Bret Baier and talked about the recent shenanigans going on in the healthcare debate. Now, of course, he didn't call them shenanigans, but yeah, it hasn't been good. And I'm just going to play a few clips here. I got to say, Bret Baier came out firing. And this is the first question that he asked was how Obama felt about the recent demon pass maneuver or procedure that the House is threatening to use. And in this clip here, you're going to hear Obama, you know, spew out his talking points, and then we'll have a nice little realization towards the end of the clip. But anyways, I'll just go ahead and play this here.
I have a proposal from me that will be in legislation that has the toughest insurance reforms in history. Make sure that people are able to get insurance even if they've got pre-existing conditions. Make sure that we are reducing costs for families and small businesses by allowing them to buy into a pool, the same kind of pool that members of Congress have. We know that this is going to reduce the deficit by over $1 trillion. So you've got a good package on the substance. And I don't spend a lot of time worrying about what the procedural rules are in the House or the Senate.
All right, so according to Obama, he doesn't care about the procedural rules of the House or the Senate. I mean, now back in 2005, of course he did, whenever the Republicans were going to use reconciliation to get a judge nominee in. But now, you know, with 1/6 of the economy on the line, yeah, you can do whatever you want. I don't really care, you know. It's not that big of a deal. Just do whatever you got to do to get me a bill so I can sign it, is basically what he's saying there. All right, now this next clip I'm about to play is just mind-boggling, and it doesn't make sense. Obama is being asked by Bret Baier over and over about all these special deals that were in the Senate bill, like the deal for Nebraska, the deal in Louisiana, the deal in Florida, all the Montana, Connecticut. All these deals are just pork spending that's just being thrown in there for the senator of those states to just get, you know, little programs here and there for their buddies. Basically, it's what it's boiling down to. And I mean, this is a lot of money. These are like, you know, 100 million, 500 million, big time deals. And so Obama is being asked about this from Bret Baier. And it comes to the Louisiana deal, and Obama has this to say about it.
I'll give you some exceptions, though. Something that was called a special deal was for Louisiana. It was said that there were millions of dollars going to Louisiana. This was a special deal. Well, in fact, that provision, which I think should remain in, said that if a state has been affected by a natural catastrophe that has created a special healthcare emergency in that state, they should get help. Louisiana obviously went through Katrina, and they're still trying to deal with the enormous challenges that were faced because of that.
Understand. But do you know which ones are still in? Hold on a second, Brett. Is my question.
That also, well, I'm giving you an example of one that I consider important. It also affects Hawaii, which went through an earthquake. So that's not just a Louisiana provision. That is a provision that affects every state that is going through a natural catastrophe.
All right. So he's talking about this deal and saying, well, hey, it gives money to people in natural disasters like Hawaii. Okay, well, we're talking about all this special funding going to Louisiana, not Hawaii. Louisiana hasn't had a natural disaster. You know, not lately. I mean, Katrina, but, you know, it's not, they don't need some special deal for healthcare costs now from Katrina. The logic is just all over the place. It doesn't add up, basically. And I don't know. I just don't understand it. I'm baffled. I really am. Maybe you guys can explain it to me. And the last clip that I want to show or play for you guys from that interview is, it was kind of in the end segment where it's kind of awkward. Bret and Obama are just walking around in the White House, strolling around. You know, Obama's got that smug look on his face, like, I don't want to be with you. But anyways, they're talking about Israel, and Bret Baier is asking him about basically just our relationship with Israel as of late, because it's been kind of testy. And this is what Obama has to say.
There is a disagreement in terms of how we can move this peace process forward. And obviously, when I sent Vice President Biden there, it was at a moment where we were trying to restart talks between the Palestinians and the Israelis. The actions that were taken by the Interior Minister in Israel weren't helpful to that process. Prime Minister Netanyahu acknowledged as much and apologized for it. And what we've said is we need both sides to take steps to make sure that we can rebuild trust. And yesterday, when there were riots by the Palestinians against a synagogue that had reopened, we condemned them in the same way because...
All right. First of all, I didn't hear anybody in the White House talking about condemning those riots that went on the other day by the Palestinians. Maybe I missed that one, I don't know. But do you hear what he's saying here? He's talking about, well, all right, the whole Israel-Palestinian conflict goes back ages, okay? And he's talking about, well, we're trying to have, you know, diplomatic talks between the two, and, you know, I'm sending Vice President Biden out there to help, and, you know, we're just trying to help them, you know, start a peace process, and you know, just, I want the diplomacy to outweigh the violence, and we'll get everything, you know, straightened out over there. This is what annoys me about Obama. He is stuck in his Harvard grad classes, basically. Does he not understand that these two groups of people have been fighting since the beginning of time, basically? And there's nothing that we're going to do that's going to get them to stop fighting. Now, you know, people have their opinions on who's right and who's wrong. I side with the Israelis because that's, you know, from the way I look at it, everyone has been trying to kill them since the beginning of time. And the Palestinians, who are mostly Muslim, want to wipe them off the face of the earth. And that's just crazy, in my opinion. So I side with the Israelis. Either way, the idea, though, that you're just going to come in and with one fell swoop and a few diplomatic maneuvers get them to stop fighting is not going to happen. And it's just to hear him talk about these kind of things, it's just like, wow, face some reality, man. He's just stuck in a classroom, and that's how he thinks, which is scary to me when I see that he's the president and I see that he's in charge of our national security and keeping us safe. And I see, you know, that he's in charge of these other things, whether it be our economy, whether it be healthcare, all these things. It's just, it's scary to me. So anyways, that was all the stuff I wanted to talk about from that interview with Fox News that he did. All right, now today, the CBO scored the new bill. The new bill that I guess they're technically going to vote on now, even though we don't know what they're really voting on, because they might just vote on a few things, like little packages of the bill, but not the full bill. We don't know, you know. I get so confused with this whole thing, just because everyone is saying totally different things, and it's just all over the place. But anyways, apparently, and this is according to the AP, House Dems on track for vote on $940 billion health bill. House Democrats are pushing to the brink of passage a landmark. What? House Democrats are pushing to the brink of passage a landmark $940 billion health care bill that would simultaneously deliver on President Barack Obama's promise to expand coverage while slashing the deficit, a strategy aimed at winning over the party's fiscal conservatives. Yeah, that's not going to happen. How is a $1 trillion health care bill in the midst of, well, we have, what, $12 trillion in national debt. The national deficit is, gosh, I don't even know what. I don't know what the last numbers are. We're in the hole majorly. And so a $1 trillion healthcare bill is going to win over fiscal conservatives? I don't understand that. I want to know something here. When is any huge government program, which this healthcare bill is, oh yeah, the article even says it would restructure one-sixth of the economy, Blah, 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 blah. It is, oh yeah, it's the biggest expansion of the social safety net since Medicare was created in 1965. So, you know, it's a huge government program, basically. And, of course, they're running around saying, oh, it's going to reduce the deficit. It's budget neutral. That's bull, if you believe that, okay? Medicare itself is like 30-something trillion in the hole, 32 trillion in the hole. How is, or, I mean, it's ridiculous what these numbers are. So if you believe for a second that this healthcare bill is going to reduce the deficit, you got something coming. Anyways, the reason that this thing is so big, though, is because it's the CBO has scored it. Now, I got to say something about the CBO here. And look, this article even says, the Congressional Budget Office estimated the total 10-year cost of expanding coverage at $940 billion. The nonpartisan analyst said the legislation would reduce the federal deficit by $138 billion over its first 10 years and continue to drive down the red ink thereafter. Democratic leaders said the deficit would be cut $1.2 trillion in the second decade, and Obama called it the biggest reduction since the 1990s when President Bill Clinton put the federal budget on a path to surplus. All right. Everybody that I hear quote the CBO says different things. For example, in the whole, just every time I hear someone talk about it, that this is what, you know, apparently the Democrats are saying. The Republicans are going to say something else. And the CBO is made up of both Republicans and Democrats. So who's right? To me, it's like, you know, it's almost like a special club. So it's like, oh, well, the CBO, you know, they're so high up, we just take what they say. But everyone is saying different things all the time. Like in that in the healthcare summit, people were quoting the CBO left and right, you know. But it was all like different stuff, contradicting. And, you know, they'd be like, well, the CBO, according to the CBO, it says this. And then someone would say, well, no, the CBO says this. Well, no, it says this. I don't honestly think that the CBO is really, it's not doing much for me, because I hear people saying all these different things about what they say, and it's made up of both Republicans and Democrats, and both Republicans and Democrats are saying different things about what the CBO is saying about the cost and what and how it's going to affect the deficit. So I honestly could care less really what the CBO says. Anyways, I've said enough about that. All right, let's move on to the entertainment segment, where we're going to be talking about the new show, the new TV miniseries on HBO called, sorry, I keep sniffing. I've been battling a cold, but it's called The Pacific. Now, let me talk a little bit about the political controversy behind this. Tom Hanks has been promoting it. He was on MSNBC, and he was talking about how World War II, when we were over in Japan, was like that all of America just didn't, like, we went to war with them because they were different, and, you know, they were yellow and had slanted eyes or whatever. I don't know what he was saying. Basically, he was saying that we were racist because we were going to war with Japan because we were different. You know, it didn't have anything to do with the fact that they attacked us at Pearl Harbor, of course. And then he also related that to our current war in the Middle East, and basically saying that, you know, we're over there because we don't like Muslims and we're being racist against Muslims. Not having to do with the fact that they attacked us on 9/11. So you get the idea. Basically, here's the deal. Tom Hanks is a douche, all right? No one is denying that. But at the same time, listen, I'm the type of person, and maybe I'm just not grown enough to understand this and just be a better person about this, but I'm the type of person that, look, I'll sit here and tell you, yeah, Tom Hanks is an idiot for saying that kind of stuff, and he's wrong, obviously, but I'm not going to say, I'm just not going to, it doesn't, I don't care about that when it comes to a show that is entertaining to me. So I watched The Pacific, the first episode, and I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. Obviously, you know, Band of Brothers, it's from the same people who did Band of Brothers. Tom Hanks is a producer on it. It's got a lot of the same similar, it doesn't have the same people, but it has a lot of the same similar just look and feel to the show. And it was good. Honestly, I liked the first episode. I thought they did a better job of just getting into the war aspect of it than Band of Brothers did. The first episode of Band of Brothers, you know, you weren't even over in, I guess it was Normandy or France, whatever, wherever they were, but you weren't over there until like the second episode. This episode, you're over in Japan by the middle of the first episode. So I enjoyed that. I thought it was good. You know, actually the acting, it wasn't bad. They're setting up some interesting, you know, storylines with the soldiers. So I think it'll be interesting. It's a war movie, or a war TV show. What? I don't understand. I mean, I know people put a spin on things, but you can't go anywhere without getting a spin on things. You have to look through it. And overall, I found it to be entertaining. So I'm not going to sit here and say, hey, even though Tom Hanks is an idiot, which he is, don't watch that show, The Pacific. You just don't watch that. Look, to me, it doesn't matter, all right? Tom Hanks being a douchebag and The Pacific being a pretty good show, from the first episode at least, to me, don't have anything to do with each other. I could care less. So, I don't have HBO. I watched it online. I won't tell you how I watched it, but I watched it online. And just so you know, I mean, it is graphic. It's TVMA. But it's good. I thought it was good. So I'm looking forward to the next episode. But anyways, that's about all I have to say about The Pacific. So that's all I have for today. Be sure to tune in Tuesday. I'll just tell you guys now, I'm not going to say anything specific because I'm still working on some stuff, but I'm working on getting an interview set up that would hopefully be next week. I don't know if it would be Tuesday or Thursday, but I'm working on getting the interview set up with someone that you all know, and it would be, I think it would be an awesome, awesome interview. And so I'm working on getting that set up. So be sure to tune in and be looking out for that. I'll be having updates, you know, about when it's going to be coming out. But so email me. I didn't say it at the beginning of the show, but please email me, guys. I don't know if I need to make a prize or something for, you know, whoever emails me the most or what. But no one's emailing me. So, and I really want your guys' feedback and input on what you want from this show. So please email me at thesoundoffshow@gmail.com. thesoundoffshow@gmail.com. Also, check me out on Facebook. People have been becoming fans on there, but, you know, tell your friends, just anyone that you think likes politics or anything having to do with movies or music or whatever, TV, tell them about the show, have them check it out. And like I said, email me, find me on Facebook. Music today was by the wonderful Earth, Wind, and Fire. If you email me or write on my Facebook page, tell me some musical groups or musical people that you would want me to use on the show, and I'll do that. But anyways, be sure to come back Tuesday, and be sure to look out for that interview, and I'll talk to you guys later. Thanks for tuning in. Deuces. You can't